Morning.
I'm going to try to do this song and do it justice. It's an old one. This is a song that was written by J. Edwin Orr. And it's a Maori melody. It was Hawaiian Islands. And this was a tune that... Well, I don't know the words really, but Po'atu Ra, I moi e I ho ni, I hare ana, koi kai pa mameo, hare ra, mahare mea ano, ke aite tau, a tango atu nei. Yeah. That was the original words to this tune, which was a goodbye song from these tribes people. As Mr. Orr was leaving the island, they were singing that, and that tune moved him so much that he wrote this song, Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Okay. Now we got to get to what we're really here for. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
All right. This morning's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 through chapter 8, verses 13. And it goes kind of like this. It says, the two foundations. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it did not collapse. because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. When Jesus had finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. A man cleansed. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Right away, a man with a serious skin disease came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be made clean." Immediately his disease was healed. Then Jesus told him, "See that you do not tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony. I will come and heal him," he told him. "Lord," the centurion replied, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be cured. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus told the centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was cured at that very moment. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Hope.
You're welcome.
Glory to God. So as we continue on in our study here, moving through the New Testament, here Jesus himself is telling us how we can have a life that is secure, how we can have a life that is one of contentment. Now, it doesn't say that we will all become millionaires and have Ferraris in our garage and million-dollar homes. Nowhere does it say that. But it does say that we will be content. We will learn to be content. If we build upon the rock, and the rock is?
Jesus
Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. So, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are putting our faith in one who will never let us down. We're putting our faith in a substance, a person of substance that will hold us up through every challenge that we face. As long, as we continue to hold on to him and to hold our faith in him. The problem is that sometimes when life goes the direction that we may not be expecting, we let go, thinking that he's already let go of us, and that's why we went this way or that way, in a direction that we weren't expecting, in a direction that we didn't want to go. But God's plans are not our plans. His plans are much higher than ours. You know, God sees everything. Everything past, present, and future. Everything is history to God. Everything. He already knows how everything's going to play out. He already knows exactly what everything. And to me, that is a good reason to put our faith in him.
Amen.
He already knows the future. He already knows what's going to happen. Now, does that mean that if you pray hard enough, he's going to give you the winning numbers to the lottery? No. But he is going to meet our needs. The Bible very clearly states that he will supply our every need. Not our wants, but our every need. And so when we build our life, our house, upon him, who is the solid rock that we can stand on. You know, David in the Psalms called him his rock, his refuge. I mean, he had so many different names, similes that he gave to God, but they're all about a life of security. They're all about joy and peace and happiness and contentment. He never called him the God, my God, who will destroy me if I'm not careful. He never called him that. Now, is he able to do that? Yes. But is that his intent? No. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive eternal life. When we build upon him instead of upon the worldly things, you know, I'll give you an example of something that probably most everybody in this room has a recollection of. You know, you remember when the big stock market crashed a few years ago? Everybody remembers that. Put your hand up. Yeah. I think everybody in here probably lost a little bit. But here's the thing. It didn't ruin us. We're still here. We still have everything. God is still on the throne. But for those who had faith in that money, several of them jumped out of windows and skyscrapers. Did you know that? Stock market guys. Why? Because their faith was in their fortune. Their faith was in money, not God. Not the true and living God. Money became their God. And when it let them down, they didn't think life was worth living anymore. Why? Because they built their house upon the sand, and when the storm came, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen?
Amen.
But those who put their faith in Christ are never let down. We let him down from time to time, but he never lets us down. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. In other words, you know, he wasn't quoting, well, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said this, and no, he was saying, this is what God says. Why? Because he was God in the flesh. He knew what God said. He was delivering the truth. I am the truth, the life, the way. Then to show what happens when we put our faith in the rock, the anchor. It goes on to tell us, when Jesus came down the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Does this sound like he has faith? Huh? Does this sound like he has faith? What? Come on, I can't hear you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, because he says, if you want, you can. You will make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand. Now, that's a no-no, folks. You don't touch a person with leprosy. You just don't do it. It's unheard of. It makes you unclean. But in this case, not only did it not make Jesus unclean, it made the leper clean. And that shows that authority he's speaking with, right? That shows that he really does have the authority to say what God is saying. Why? Because he is God in the flesh. He touched this man and he said, I am willing, be clean. And it says, a year later, he was healed. After he went to the doctor and got medicine, he was healed. A few months later, he started feeling a little better, and he started growing new fingers. No, it says immediately, boom, he is healed. Amen. He came and called on the one who can, the one who will. Jesus didn't say, yeah, I can, but I'm not going to. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he said, I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. God is willing to come to our aid and meet our needs. He wants us to live a life that glorifies him. Sometimes that means that the doctor is able to heal us with the medicines that God gave modern man the abilities to use. Sometimes it means that God himself just speaks and our illness is gone. And the doctor says, well, I don't know, we must have made a mistake because it looked like there was something there, but now I don't see anything, so we must have looked at the wrong x-ray or something. There's some kind of explanation here for this, because I'm sure. When I quit driving a truck, I was in not really good health. And I went to the doctor, and I had to go through a series of tests and all this stuff. And the doctor told me, he said, wow. He said, how old are you? And I told him, he said, you already have emphysema. He said, you're not going to live long. I was like, thanks, doc. I like you too. A year later, that same doctor came into the room where I came for one of my checkups. They had me coming back every 6 months. And he come in the room, and same doctor, right? I said that, right? Same doctor. He comes in the room and he says, who told you you had emphysema? I said, you did. He said, well, I was wrong. You don't have emphysema. He said, you just have asthma. Well, I don't really have much asthma anymore either, folks. God is good. All the time. And then he talks about this centurion. He came to Capernaum, and a centurion came to him. Now, this centurion was not a Jew, folks. This is a Roman soldier. And he asked for help. And he calls Jesus Lord. This man had faith. He believed that Jesus was the Lord, because he called him Lord. He said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? And it's amazing. This man wasn't even a Jew. He's a Gentile, a Roman soldier of all things. You know, who was it that put Jesus on the cross and crucified him? Roman soldiers, centurions. This man cries out to Jesus, Lord, help me. Help my servant. He's in terrible shape at home. And I need you to do something for him. But when Jesus asked, okay, do you want me to come over to your house and heal him? No. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. No. You're too righteous, too holy to come to my house. I'm a dog. I'm nothing. I don't need you to come to the house. Besides that, I know how your authority works. Speaking of him, speaking with authority, right? I know how your authority works because I'm a man in authority too. I tell this soldier, go do that, and he does it. I tell this one, go do that, and he does it. So all you have to do, Lord, with your authority over the body's illnesses, with your authority over all things created and uncreated, all you have to do, Lord, is just speak the word. and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, wow. I haven't seen this kind of faith anywhere from any of the Jews. Nowhere in Israel have I found anybody with this kind of faith. And this is a Gentile, Roman centurion soldier, the same people who put me on the cross, and yet this man has this kind of faith. And he gets it, folks. He understands that when I speak, it happens. And so he tells him, go, and it will be done according to your faith. Huh. Isn't that something? You go, and it's according to your faith. Why? Because I am the one in authority. I am the one. I am the one who can. I am the one who will. When you cry out to me, when you put your faith in me, when you trust me, when it's my will for this to happen, it will happen, folks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. Woof! And there was light. You know why God can't lie? Because everything he says happens. I mean, think about that. He said, let there be light. Poof, there was light. No wonder he has to be so careful about when he speaks. God loves us, folks, so much that he sent his son to this earth. Not just to die for us. That was the main goal and the main thing that had to happen. He had to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But he also came to teach us how we should live. The Bible says that Jesus went around doing good, healing, helping. This is our example, folks. I wonder if we take a close look at our life, at our faith, if we can say 100% sure that our faith is built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Rather than having faith in ourself and our own abilities, rather than having faith in money, rather than having faith in our job and a position to support my family, rather than, do we really have our faith in Christ? And what I mean by that is okay, if the stock market crashed, are you going to lose it? You're going to think life is not worth living? If you lose your job, are you going to think life's not worth living? Or are you going to trust God to open another door? Why? Jesus has authority over all things. He can close one door and open another. Amen. Anytime he wants to. Whether we're ready or not, sometimes. We have to learn to hang on to him and trust him in all of circumstances of life. Illness, whatever. We trust him. Why? Because he's the one that can and will. We don't know exactly what all that means all the time. It may not be what the way I want it to happen, but it'll be what's right because it's what God gives us. All good gifts come from above. They come from God. They come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, if your faith is insecure, settle it today before you leave here. Put your faith in the rock. Build your life upon Christ. If you have a need, reach out to God. Pray and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do. We don't just need to ask, Lord, what can you do for me? Mostly we need to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? He's not a genie in a bottle that takes commands from us, folks. He doesn't stand there and say, next, what's your order, please? No. He's the one who gives orders, not takes them. But when we call on him, he hears. His heart is moved when our heart is moved towards him. That's how revival comes. If you have a need, just come and mind the Lord as we sing. Brother Bob.